Today, as you know, we celebrate the feast of Christ the King and Savior. It is a relatively new feast in our liturgical calendar, having been established only in 1925 by Pope Pius XI. And it has also been adopted recently by some Protestant churches as well. This feast was established as a way for the church to combat the growing wave of secularism and nationalism that pervaded a great many societies throughout the world. And both of these were becoming quite extreme. Secularism is defined as an indifference to or a rejection or exclusion of religion and religious considerations, while nationalism, in its negative context, is defined as a sense of national consciousness, exalting one nation above all others and placing primary emphasis on promotion of its own interest as opposed to those of other nations. Now, there is nothing wrong with patriotism, which is love for devotion to one's country, but when nationalism rises to the point where one country utilizes their power to dominate or put another country down, therein lies some problems. In our world today, we can point to many such examples of societies that are either still too secular or too nationalistic. Historically, this feast arose after the devastation of World War I and the rise of nation states not only in Europe or with the rise of the Soviets, but also a growing concern about what was happening here in the Americas, especially in Mexico, which was extremely corrupt at the time. In 1917, just 100 years ago, there was a new constitution placed in Mexico that basically outlawed all public displays of religion, and priests were being executed in droves there. And there was a wave of migration that was leaving at that particular point in time in Mexico's history. But the Cristero War came about, and the peasants began to uprise once again and took back control of their country. And like I said, many priests, including one recently named, Father Toribio Romo, who's now a saint, and many of those others were made saints as well. But some would argue that even today, we live in a world that has become too nationalistic or way too secular. So it's not a new phenomenon at all, and it even existed during the time immediately after and before Christ's birth, and to a very large degree in the rise of the Roman Empire after Christ physically left the earth. This feast was established to help us to refocus upon the fact that we are all called to worship and serve a king that does not necessarily belong to this world. So it's good to reflect back for a moment and recall just what type of king the Jewish people were expecting to come and to serve them. They had been an oppressed people, oppressed by the Romans and others in whatever lands that they were present. They believed that God would send them a Messiah who would be a warrior to combat the evil forces that faced them in their world. They expected that he would be a mighty king, one able to defeat all their foes. But as we know, God's ways are not our ways, and God had a very different plan. See, he desired to send to his people a shepherd king, one who was meek and humble, a king who would save the people from themselves and from being bound up in their own sins. He would send them a king who would set the people free so that they can in turn learn to love one another again. He would send them a king, nonetheless, one who would be amongst his own people, sharing with them the good news of God's kingdom. He would send a king, one who would invite us all to become brothers and sisters, a king who would invite us to share in his earthly mission, a king who would promise eternal salvation, a king who would show us the way to the Father, a king who would come to gather those who had been scattered, a king who would separate, as we heard just a moment ago, separate the good from the bad, a king who would heal the injured and the sick, a king who would break down and destroy those who were sleek and strong, a king, as St. Paul puts it, who would restore proper order, and finally, a king who would destroy even death itself. My brothers and sisters, when we made our baptismal promises or our parents made them for us, we promised, and as we renew over and over again in our baptismal promises, that we will share in Christ's earthly mission, and that is to be his prophet, his priests, and his kings even today. Now that we know we are called, the question becomes is, how do we do that? And we need only look to the words of today's gospel. St. Teresa of Calcutta once asked the same question, essentially. How is it that you do what you do? How is it that you are able to serve the lowliest in our societies? And she politely held up her hand and said five words. You did it for me. In these simple five words, she summarizes the entire message of the gospel today. You did it for me. My friends, this is the essence of what our King is instructing us to do. Whatsoever you do, wherever you choose to do it, whomsoever you love, and whomsoever you choose to serve, it is there that you are serving me. For you have chosen to serve me directly. It matters not what color their skin is, what their economic or educational background is. It matters not what language they speak, nor does their current or past sinfulness define what we are called to do. We are called to be his kingly presence in their midst, and to love them all, to serve them all, and to be Christ for all. This, my brothers and sisters, is our mission. This is our baptismal promise. And I want to paraphrase just a little the words that Pope Pius XI used as he established the significance of this feast. And the Pope's words say it quite well. He says, "The faithful, you and I, by meditating upon these truths, will gain much strength and courage, enabling us to form our lives after the true Christian ideal. If to Christ our Lord is given all power in heaven and on earth, if all of us who have been purchased by his precious blood are by a new right subjected to his dominion, if this power embraces all of us, it must be clear that not one of our faculties is exempt from his empire. He must reign in our minds, which should assent with perfect submission and firm belief to revealed truths and to the doctrines of Christ. He must reign in our wills, which should obey the laws and precepts of God. He must reign in our hearts, which should spurn natural desires and love God above all things and cleave only to him. He must reign in our bodies and in our members, which serve as instruments for the interior sanctification of our souls, or to use the words of the Apostle Paul, as instruments of justice under God." As we prepare ourselves for this coming Advent, we may ask ourselves, are we still searching for our King? And if so, what type of King are we searching for? My brothers and sisters, Jesus is our only true King. And as we come now to receive him at this Eucharistic table, let us once again be fed by him so that we can be strengthened to accomplish his mission that he has marked out for each and every one of us.